Hey, good morning. Welcome to Spiritual Awareness with Pastor Davenport. We're a Spirit-filled, Bible-believing beacon of light broadcast. We're a non-denominational prayer ministry serving the Lord Jesus Christ both through Gospel of Faith Church over in Ash Fork, Arizona, as well as from the Spiritual Awareness broadcast studios right here in Fort Mojave, Arizona. We are a worldwide prayer ministry. Good morning. I'm Pastor Davenport, and I want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast. Lord, we present new and exciting messages from God, His Word on faith, love, hope, and grace of Almighty God. We will be exploring the true meaning of spiritual awareness for today's churches and what God really means when He says He has a new awakening coming for today's Christians in the very near future. So please tune in as God takes us on this journey, as we go through this brand new Spirit-filled journey to be with the Lord. Let's begin by clearing our minds and preparing our spirit for the Holy Spirit to prepare us to be open to learn God's word. Ready? Heavenly Father, I praise you this morning for this time that our prayer partners all over the country and around the world can work together to pray fervently for the salvation of the lost, that they would be able to come and find Jesus as their Lord and Savior also. I'd ask that you would bless this broadcast and Gospel of Faith Church as this renewing of the Spirit is happening both here on the broadcast and there at the church. The church is truly wants to be a beacon of light, to shine bright, so many would come to know the salvation of the Lord that only you can bring through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. These things we pray today, interceding on behalf of our brothers and sisters, those that are ill, those that are facing addictions, those that are facing so much drama in their lives and trauma. We come before you, Lord, on bended knee, praying that this day, you will release that spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, today I want to revise something that many of you may not know. It's called the 11 o'clock prayer hour. We do this with over 70 other churches. And God will be bringing those lost souls to the broadcast and to the church. And it'll go out all around the world. So I'm going to reinstate that 11 o'clock prayer. Many of you may not remember it, or many of you may not know about it. But at 11 o'clock around the world, in these 70 different churches and places that houses of God, we get together at 11 o'clock, no matter where you are. It's a different time. It doesn't matter. At 11 o'clock, your time. And we lift everyone up in God's name. We just lift them up to be anointed of the Holy Ghost, asking the Heavenly Father to just anoint us with that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit and bring us full circle back through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And together we will be sending this prayer out to every possible place we can go. You see, we will be working in conjunction with all denomination of churches together to bring strength back to the house of God once again. Hallelujah. We ask all these things today in the name, above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Just kind of welcome the Spirit if you can, if you listen to the broadcast. Just, you know, you can do it by thumping the table. You can sit there and clap. You can lift your hands to heaven and just acknowledge God in your life. You know, sometimes we need to go, it may be just a short prayer to say, Lord, I repent of whatever sins I may have committed to someone else. Sometimes our tongue gets away from us. Sometimes we have a little road rage. Whatever it may be, I want you to put that hand up in the air and just believe God. Believe God for a miracle in your life. Repent and receive Jesus. Repent and rededicate yourself to Jesus. This we ask today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, right now, I'd like you to take your Bible. You should have your Bible. Grab your Bible and repeat after me. We do this at every service. So if you would, just hold your Bible up high. If you can't, your arm won't let you do that. Hold it to your heart and say, "This is my Bible." Repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the infallible Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm so happy to have you here today on this Sabbath Sunday. Today, I want to be in John, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 11, verse 144. Now, I'm using the New International Testament, and we're going to be talking about raising of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 1-44. Off and on. The raising of Lazarus. The man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. Now, this is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was very, very ill. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus, telling him, "Lord, your dear friend Lazarus is very ill. He's very sick." And there was a close family in the Bible. They were siblings whose names were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they were close friends with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was teaching in a town some distance away, about one day's travel from where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were. And during that time, Lazarus became so sick. So Mary and Martha, again, sent a message to Jesus that your friend Lazarus is ill. And this is Jesus' response in verse 4, 5, and 6. When he heard about Lazarus, the gospel says, "But when Jesus heard about it, he said, 'Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this.'" In other words, so people would believe in the miracles that Jesus offered. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. You see, Jesus has his plan and knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what he's going to do here. He knows that everything is going to be okay. He knows exactly what he's going to do and how it will bring glory to God the Father. But he didn't send a note back to Mary Martha telling them what his plan was. He just stayed where he was for 2 more days, anticipating what was about to happen. I wonder how many of us have had a situation, a circumstances, an issue in our lives where you have to send out a message to God. You send out that message to God. You've cried out to God, cried out to Jesus, and it seems like he's out to lunch. Amen? And you tell him your issues, your circumstances, and it seems he's gone for 2 or more days, 2 more months, 2 more years, with not so much as a note, a message, a sign that everything is going to be okay. Yet, listen, there's that word, 3-letter word, yet. All the while, our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, have a plan for our lives. your plan for our lives. But he just hasn't revealed his plan to you. He's silent. And it may be a long time before he responds back to you. And some of you may still be waiting right now, today. Let me tell you, Jesus' reason for not going to Mary and Martha and Lazarus was that he allowed this to happen so that he could bring glory to God and so that he would be glorified. So that people would believe. Say believe. Believe. It's not that he didn't love them. It says right here, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. He loved them very much, but he had a plan for their lives and for God's glory to be revealed by what he was about to do. And I want to assure you today that Jesus loves you. He loves you very much, and he has a plan for your life. And what that is will glorify God. Now, he lets things happen in the lives of Martha and Mary and Lazarus to teach them to have faith and to trust in God, even when they didn't understand his reasoning behind his delay. Many times we question God. You know that's true. If it's true, I want you to shout amen. See, God has a plan for you, my friend. He sees the fear that you have today. He sees the trouble that you're in. He sees the hurt that you have. He sees the worry that you have. But he has a plan. You see, he allows things to happen in our lives to teach us to trust in God, to have faith in him. And sometimes, for our own good, he makes us wait. He does not work on our time schedule. He works in his time. In God's time, he will reveal himself to you. In God's time, he will show himself and work in your situation. And he won't show up until you're ready. Until you're ready. Listen to what I'm saying. Until you're ready to receive what he has for you. Now, after 2 days, Jesus travels with his disciples to where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are. And while they are traveling, Jesus tells them this in verse 7. We said we're in John chapter 11. And he says to them, finally, in verse 7, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you to death. Are you going to go there again? And Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have light of this world. But at night, there is a danger. There's a danger of stumbling because they have no light. Verse 11. Then he said, excuse me, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But now I will go and I will wake him up. Jesus was trying to tell him that he passed away. He died. But Christ was also saying, I will go and I will wake him up. He's going to resurrect him. and the disciples said, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping. But Jesus meant that Lazarus had died. Verse 14. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. He died. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go to see him. So Jesus tells his disciples that Lazarus is dead. In fact, he'd been dead for 4 days. Can you imagine the anguish of Mary and Martha? Their brother had died. Their friend Jesus wasn't there when it happened, and he didn't come to them right away. The emotions, the fear, the doubts were running high, and the first person to come running to Jesus was Martha. I'm taking pauses so I can get a drink because my throat is scratchy. So forgive me for that. Martha was the active one, always busy doing, and trying to figure things out all the time. She was, you know, somebody like that. They just go nonstop, right? Amen. So she was the one who complained to Jesus about her sister not helping in the kitchen while preparing a meal. And Jesus had to set her straight. Martha had come to him. And in verse 16, it says, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go. Let's go to and die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. He was in the sepulchre for 4 days. So they had a cave and they buried him. The sepulchre. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. Verse 20, when Martha got the word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you only had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Now Martha, Mary, and Lazarus had a great faith in Jesus, and they believed in him. Martha believed that had Jesus been there, he would have healed her brother. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Got allergies this morning. This is Jesus' response to her in verse 23. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Now, if anyone else said that, I'd laugh. But Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Heavenly Father, says, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said. He will rise when everyone else rises at the last days. Then Jesus says this to her, verse 25. Jesus told her, I am. Now, Jesus is talking. Can you see him putting his both hands on his chest and saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. And he asked, do you believe this, Martha? And I have to ask you the same question here. He's telling her that they're not going to die if they believe in her, in him, excuse me. And I ask you that question. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe what the Savior says? So let me tell you what Jesus is saying here. He's telling her, I am the one who has the power over death, hell, and the grave, and I am the one who gives life. Hallelujah. I am the one who breathed the life into the very first human being, and I am the one who forms you in the womb. I am the one who gives and takes away. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. He who believes in me, say it with me, he who believes in me, he who believes that I have the power over death, hell, and the grave, and the one who gives life will have life forever, even if this body dies. And when he says, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die, he's saying, everyone, look to your neighbor and say, that's you. everyone who allows me into their lives and follows me and believes in who I am, they will never die. Hallelujah. And then he asked Martha, do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? And I ask you this morning, do you believe on this Sabbath day, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And Martha's response was this in verse 27, yes, Lord. Can you say that with me? Yes, Lord. She told him, I have always believed you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God, the one who has come into this world from God. Martha now goes and gets her sister Mary. Along with her comes a group of mourners, and she approaches Jesus and falls at his feet. And she too tells him, verse 28. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here. Excuse me, and he wants to see you. Verse 30. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha had met him. And when the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. And when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, crying with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Why, you ask? Why will you ask, why is Jesus angry? We believe that Jesus was so deeply moved and that he loved his friends so much that to see them in such distress and anguish, it moved him to anger about what caused death to come into this world. He was angry, not at them, but at sin, at Satan, and death. He was angry at the consequences of sin, what it brings to us. He was angry at the suffering that death brings. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Say it with me. The wages of sin is death. Yes. He was human and he felt all the things that we are feeling right now, that you're feeling right now. He had a compassion on them and it drove him to tears. He wept. Say it with me. He wept. And it was then that Jesus went to the tomb where his friend Lazarus laid. And he asked, where have you put him? And they told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept again. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man heals the blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Jesus said, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days now. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you only believed? Are you listening, church? For Jesus is speaking to you this morning through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, didn't I tell you and you and you and you that you would see God's glory if you but believed? So they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, Father, thank you for hearing me this day. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they too will believe that you sent me. And then, oh, praise God, then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Again, he said, Lazarus, come out. And once again, everyone looked around. And he said, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Hallelujah. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in the head cloth. And Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. Let him go. Praise God. Let him go. Jesus' purpose for bringing Lazarus from the dead wasn't to console his friends or make the hurt go away, but it was so that his glory, the glory of Christ, would be revealed to all. It was so that the other people might believe that he was the Messiah. He was the chosen one. He was the only begotten of God. Now, some months later, Jesus would be betrayed by one of his disciples. He would be taken by the authorities to be whipped, beaten, and crucified. All of his followers would abandon him and lose hope. Jesus would lie in a tomb for 3 days. But, listen to me, he did not stay dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 through 6, grab your Bible and open it up. I'll give you a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 and 6. In verse 3, it says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. Amen. Look to your neighbor and say, Christ died for your sin. Just as the scripture says, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on that third day, just as the scripture tells it. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom were still alive, though some may have died. He is alive. Now, I know this is after Easter, but I want to make a point here. He is alive because he is. He is the one who has the power over death. He's the one who has the power and gives life. The one who breathed the life into the first human being. The one who forms you into a womb. The one who gives and takes away. He is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands to heaven and shout amen and amen and amen. Give God a praise and clap this morning. Oh, hallelujah. He is the resurrection and the life. The first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who believes he has the power over death, hell, and the grave, and the one who gives life will have life forever, even though his body dies. I wonder, do you believe? Do you believe that this morning? By believing, we have the power over death too. By believing, we have the power to rise up above our struggles in life. For in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, the last trump will sound and the dead in Christ will rise. And then we that are together will be caught up in the air to be with him forever. You can rise up over death by believing that we have the power through Christ Jesus. You can rise up over death, hell, and the grave. You can rise up over the death of a loved one. You can rise up over the illness that you or your loved one has. You can rise up over the turmoil in your family. You can rise up over the evils of this world that we live in. But you must have faith and believe that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus had. Will you believe today? Will you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? I pray, rise above. In John chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. We need to rise above. Say it with me. Rise above. Say it again. Rise above. Jesus has a plan and knows exactly what he's doing. We need to rise above. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. Although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days to rise above. To rise above. Say it with me again. Rise above. In John chapter 11, verse 14 and 15, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 11, 14 and 15. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Say it with me. Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, in verse 15, John 11, verse 15, I am glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. So we rise above our troubles. We rise above our tribulations. We rise above the problems in our lives. Say it with me. Rise above. Say it again. Rise above. John chapter 11, verse 21 through 26. Martha said to Jesus, Lord. Ooh, she recognized him as Lord. She said, Lord, if you only had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, verse 22, even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said. He will rise when everybody else rises at the last day. And Jesus told her again, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me, believes in me, will never, ever die. And he asked, do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of Almighty God, and one who has come into the world from God. Rise above it. Say it with me. Rise above it. Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, and the one the Jews had been waiting for to save them from their sins. Rise above. Let's all say it together. Rise above your tribulation. Rise above your situation. Rise above and believe in Christ Jesus. This is the response Jesus is looking for from you. And you, and you, and yes, and you, and from me. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. I believe you are the true Son of God. We need to rise above. In verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up in him, and he was deeply troubled, but he rose above it. Jesus' purpose, in closing, Jesus' purpose was so that his glory would be revealed. It was so that other people might believe. Rise above. Rise above. What is he saying to you and to myself today is that we should rise above. Rise above keeping Jesus always first. Rising above all of our tribulations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 through 6, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. Say it with me. Christ died for our sins. Look to your neighbor and say, Christ died for your sins. Just as the scripture had said. He was buried and he raised from the dead on the third day. Just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom were still alive, though some died shortly after. It is time, say it with me, it is time we released the power of God in our churches, in ourselves. If we are to be with Christ, we must rise above the things of this world. Praise God. I hope that you receive the message of this sermon this morning and understand that if we rise above it, if we can just rise above that and know that Jesus Christ is there for us, I pray this morning that you will receive that. Now, we couldn't make it. We had some situations here at the house. We could not make it to church. It will be on Zoom. If you want to hear it on Zoom or see it on Zoom, Pastor Bob is preaching this morning. He'll be preaching the same message. But if you want to see it on Zoom, you have to download Zoom, go to apps, find the app for Zoom, download it on your computer, and then make sure that Sister Grace has your email. You can email the church at Gospel of Faith Church, AZ.com. I had to think about it. Or you can reach me and email it to me here at Pastor Davenport, GOFC@gmail.com. And send me your email so that I can get it to Sister Grace and put you on the list to receive it, our services through Zoom. Now, I am planning on being there next Sunday. It's supposed to be beautiful weather. So we're going to be talking about going over and possibly doing a small potluck or just pie and some pies or desserts and coffee or whatever. So if you're in the area, please stop by Gospel of Faith Church, 43750 Bullock Road. We're outside of Ash Fork, about 2 miles, 3 miles. You go to Highway 89. Coming from town or coming from Prescott or wherever, hit Bullock Road. Bullock Road has a big thing out. And just turn on Bullock Road, follow the pavement. The pavement will take you right to our church. It'll end right there at the gate of the church. And we welcome you. We welcome you. If you're not happy where you're attending, if you feel that you're not being fed the Word of God, please come and check us out. We love each and every one of the people that come and We want to be able to praise and worship together. So next Sunday, 11 o'clock, we're going to be there live. So please attend. With that, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you until we meet again. And remember, let's rise above all the tribulations in our lives and believe Jesus for a miracle in your life. God bless you all.